I'm going to talk about something called messy grace this morning. We talked about fearless grace last week and kind of built up into it a bit. I just really sense that we need to be a church. We need to be part of the church that believes that Jesus Christ is as powerful today walking amongst the people and the place in Richmond and the other places where we go as he did when he walked on the earth through us. So that means this is kind of messy. We like to heal. We like to hear people about being healed, and I just heard somebody who had gone for some tests, some cancer tests, and they came back and said that everything is clear, which is awesome, don't you think? Give the Lord a hand for healing. And some of you have stories already that you haven't shared with me, but you shared with other people. God is a healing God. And we need to understand that he has given us this opportunity to lay hands on the sick, to encourage people through the Word of God to become his kids, but also to set people free. So, messy grace. This is a story that you're pretty familiar with. Luke 8. They sailed into the region the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped on the shore, he met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had worn no clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. It's a pretty good plot for a horror movie, don't you think? They probably have something like that playing right now. I think I said to you last week, or maybe not, but the cheapest property in all the world is go find a haunted house or a haunted castle, buy it, and cast the demon out. It's really cheap. Honestly, it's that simple. The devil does not have to have possession of that. Everything belongs to the Lord. And it's just a demon. All right? It's just a demon. Well, some of you are thinking like, wow, this is already getting messy. I don't want to talk about demons. Do you talk about angels? How many have seen an angel? Am I alone? Hey, you know what? Are you going to tell somebody you've seen an angel? Like, woo-doo-woo-doo-woo-doo. Guy's off his medications. There are twice as many angels as there are demons. Two-thirds of the angels stayed with God. One-third fell and went with Lucifer. There are angels all around us, but there are demons all around us as well. And in our world today, some of you have grown up in countries that worship demons. There's more witch doctors in some countries than there are medical doctors. And when we get over here to our country, it's kind of like we sterilize this and say, well, that doesn't happen here. Well, it does happen here. It happens not only here, but it happens downtown in Richmond. It happens downtown in Vancouver Eastside. It happens in some of the nicest apartment blocks that you could ever imagine. It happens all over this world, and we need to be people who will recognize that, discern that, and then move in the Spirit and set people free. So Jesus knew. He just didn't stumble up like they rode the boat up and they go, oh, no, this is the wrong place. I don't think I should have landed the boat here because there's this guy coming naked for a long time, screaming and yelling. I just think what the disciples were thinking. You're our leader. We need to avoid this kind of stuff. This isn't good church. When somebody hasn't worn clothes for a long time, lived in a cave, and They probably, you know, I've met some people who haven't, as a paramedic, I met some people who haven't had a bath for like 2 years. And their long johns kind of became part of them. Like, that's kind of gross. And there's kind of an odor that goes with it. This is messy. And if you're a nurse or a doctor or someone like that, you know what I'm talking about. This is messy. This is not the stuff you talk about at supper time. This is not the stuff that you talk about with a lot of people because they don't understand, but this is life. And Jesus Christ came to give us life and life abundantly. And that means moving into the messies. So when they saw Jesus, when this demon saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice. Don't you love that when you're just, you know, somebody comes running up. Has he ever had that where they just shout at the top of their voice? Like, here I am, you know? I've had that a few times. I think I've only met two people who were possessed. It was pretty easy to see they were totally out of control. I talked to you about being demonized and being possessed. Your spirit is not possessed by the demon, by Satan, when you are a born-again Christian. But you can bring into your life stuff that you maybe took part in. Maybe it's just as simple as a Ouija board. Maybe it's something that you actually opened yourself up to. And that stuff is there. And it torments you. How do you know? Because you can't sleep at night. You can't go out of your house. You're fearful of everything. And the enemy comes in with those voices and says, you know what? You're not worth anything. You're useless. You're going to die by the time my dad died when he was 43 years old from colon cancer. The devil came to me and told me that I'm not going to live any past my dad's age. You ever had that story told to you? That is a lie from the pit of hell. I am not my dad. I do not have colon cancer, although I get the wonderful opportunity every 5 years to have a colonoscopy. Now, that's a treat. Some of you know what I'm talking about. What I'm telling you right now is that this is the way some people live, in this fear of these enemies over top of them, inside of them, just demanding that they do not live a life full in Jesus Christ, even though they're born again. You need to start believing that Jesus come to set you free. And we heard it already, there is no fear in Christ. Christ has cast out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. He hasn't given to us the spirit of fear, but what? Right, power, sound mind. We have this. This is what is inside of us. We talked about this. You need to understand that the enemy is the one who uses fear, not God. When we say fear God, that means reverend him, respect him. That's why I have a hard time when they call me Reverend Jim. Because the only person I believe that's reverend is God himself. I'm Pastor Jim. I got the tag sometimes I needed to get into places. I'll use the Reverend Doctor thing if I have to lay him out, you know. But I am not reverend. God is reverend. I have a gift of being a pastor. And I revere God, but I'm not afraid of him. I love him. And in his presence, I'm undone. So Jesus, this guy says, what do you want to do with me, Jesus, or the demon inside him, Son of the Most High God? Like, there's a bit of an identification there, you know? He got ID'd right there. It was just like, okay, I know who you are, Jesus. I beg you, don't torture me. Because the devils know where they're destined for, the lake of fire. They know that is the separation because they made a choice to follow Satan. And their destiny is that. For Jesus had commanded already the impure spirit to come out of him. Isn't that interesting? He already did it, but we don't have it written down. It wasn't like, come out, Jude, la, la, come out, come out, come out. It was like, come out in my name. I guess he would have done, I don't know how he did it, but he would have just called him out. I've been in those matches, and if I've been in Christianity since the late 70s and 80s, and boy, I tell you, that was when there was a demon fest going on. Boy, you would just scream your guts out. When you had a demon there, you would scream your guts out and the demon would scream back, and it seemed who screamed the loudest got it. It's got nothing to do with it. It's an authority thing we heard about. Authority and power. The authority's inside of us. And so just like the cop doesn't have to yell at you, he just has to go like this. Would you please step out of the car? Oh, yes, I'll step out. I'm a police chaplain, and I drive by, and I see a cop car parked there, and I check my brakes. You know, it's like that. And when you're in the cop car with a cop, he says, watch this. And bing, bing, every light goes on. Everybody's guilty. Because there's authority there, and this guy can take your license and impound your car. I'll tell you something right now. The devil cannot do that in your life. Jesus Christ can do that to the devil. Inside of you is the fullness of the Godhead, bodily dwelleth in the Lord, and you are complete in him. Many times it had seized him, this demon, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, wouldn't that be a great shift, eh? Like night shift in the tombs with the demon man. And kept under guard, he was broken his chains and driven by the demon into solitary places. There's a picture of maybe what the tomb might have looked like. A place in the dirt. A place where animals live, but not human beings. I don't think it would have been that clean around the tomb. I think there would have been knee-deep garbage. I think there'd be pieces of clothing. I think there'd be broken chains, broken shackles. And in those days, there were horribly big, ugly chains and shackles. And I think there would have been all sorts of debris. There would have been human waste all around. It would have been a messy place. It would have stunk to high heaven, and so would have he. It would have been uncomfortable. It would have been really messy. You ever been around somebody like that? Have you ever been around somebody that has a really bad breath or bad body odor or doesn't dress right or just doesn't fit in with society? Maybe they've got some issues and they're all over the place and you're standing there feeling, this is messy. I remember hearing Grant Mullen talk about, anybody know who Grant Mullen is? He's a medical doctor that does ministry in this whole area. And he says the first time he ever had somebody come into his office, this gal came in and she just manifested some demons. She says, I have a whole bunch of demons. Can you cast them out? And he goes, I'm a medical doctor. He's a Christian. I'm a medical doctor. I don't know what, and I can't get a hold of my pastor right now. What do I do? And the first thing he thought of was, where am I going to get that many pigs? That's what he said. Because that's the only way you can do it. You got to cast them into the pigs, right? And I thought, that's the way we think a lot. Like, wow, where are we going to get the pigs? We don't need the pigs. Don't need the pigs. You have Jesus Christ inside of you, the Holy Spirit and the power and anointing, and a command to go and set people free. Isn't that awesome? So, Isaiah, we're going to go into Isaiah here because he kind of sets a picture up about Jesus and about captives. And if you read Isaiah at all, you'll understand that he is prophesying about Jesus coming, but he's using some of the nations that are in captivity and telling why they got into captivity and then how Jesus is going to set or God's going to set them free. But it's all to encourage us. So follow along with me here. We're going to jump around a bit. But in Isaiah 42, it says, here's my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I'll put my spirit on him. It's Jesus. And he'll bring justice to the nations. We sang about justice. He will not shout or cry or raise his voice in the streets. And a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. You need to hear this, people. You may feel like a bruised reed, that you have no value, that you can't even keep your head up. You might feel like you're a smoldering wick where you don't give any light, but you just actually fill up the room with smoke and people choke when they come around. Well, I'll tell you something. Jesus Christ is right there, right now with you. He will never, ever, ever forsake you. He'll never step aside because you don't smell right. He will never step aside because you don't have the right kind of testimony. He will never step aside because you kind of think that you are not good enough. He loves you, period. You cannot do anything more to win his love. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. In faithfulness, he'll bring forth justice. How many of you want justice in your life? How many look around and see the unjust things happening? Does it get your heart stirred? Do you get angry at injustice? I do. I wish I could stop things, and then I think the way I'd stop them is snuff those people out. And that's probably not good. That's maybe the Italian stuff coming out. I don't know. But once they're snuffed out, they're not going to do it anymore, but somebody will come in because it's a spiritual thing. The people that are doing all these horrible things are still created in the image of God, and God loves them. Can you imagine that? What if you have that kind of a ministry to go into those kind of messy places? In faithfulness, he'll bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he established justice on the earth. He's not going to be discouraged. I get discouraged. I get sometimes like, oh, what? Like, come on. Why don't you just come and take us home? This is such a mess. And he says, I do really good in messes. And actually, when Elaine and I think about our life and our ministry, that's all we've done is kind of like messes. And I actually used to say, what fun would it be to be in a church that's healthy? I mean, where's the fun there? Isn't it better when everything's blood on the floor and people hate each other and just stabbing each other? And like, this is good. This is what I thought. I need ministry in those kind of situations. Sometimes that sounds like your family, doesn't it? Right? Jesus needs to come in there. But he comes in there so that he can bring you to a place where we're whole and we're free. Like, I'm free from alcohol. I don't drink anymore. I didn't quit drinking. I did not quit drinking. Some of you are thinking, does it mean you still drink? No. I don't drink because I'm set free. I don't have a desire. There's a difference between quitting and there's a difference between not having a desire. I do not have a desire for any alcohol. I don't have a desire for pornography anymore. I don't have a desire for those things. And you know, I still struggle with some things, and as I told you before, I'm not going to tell you what they are. But I'll tell you something. God has come into my life, and I've become undone in some areas, and he has set me free. He wants to do that in you. My self-esteem was in the toilet. I felt rotten about myself. All the time I was growing up, I felt shame and I felt like the bottom of the pit, that I could never accomplish anything, that I could never be recognized for anything, that I just go through life and just not even exist to most people. He sure changed that in my life. I'm not arrogant, but I'm confident. I'm confident in him. This is what the Lord says, the creator of heavens, who stretches them out and who spreads out the earth with all the springs from it and gives breath to the people and life to those who walk on it. This is him who we have living inside of us. I, the Lord, have called you into righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and I'll make you to be a covenant for the people and a light to the Gentiles. You get to be a light to the Gentiles. You're the flashlight. You're the iPhone 6 flashlight. You can shine in the dark wherever your phone is. You need to understand that you are the light of the world. You are light. You're not Jesus, don't get me wrong, but you have him inside of you. It's just like a fridge door, okay? Open your mouth and the light should come out. Right? Keep your mouth closed and it's just dark. So you need to be, somebody says they step on my toe and my mouth opens. That's the different thing. That's not a good metaphor, that one. Because you see, if you're the light to the Gentiles, you'll open the eyes of the blind and set the captives from prison and release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. There are people that you know that sit in darkness. There's people that you know that just cannot come out. There's barriers there. There's things that they've been told. There's lies that have been told. There's things that they've done and they feel so shameful that God would never forgive them. That is a lie from the pit of hell. There is nothing that you can do that God cannot forgive. And you need to know, you need to hear that in your spirit. You need to know that in your heart. There's a living God that died on the cross for your sins, all of them. The ones before, the ones today, and the ones you're going to commit. Well, what about that? You're actually going to commit sins? We can't do that because we're Christians. Some of you will do it on the way home because you don't like the way somebody drove in front of you. So you can be alert on that one already. Keep both hands on the wheel. All the fingers tightly forced around the rim. Okay? And don't do anything with your mouth. Body language speaks loud. Because he says, I am the Lord and that's my name. I will not yield my glory to another or praise to idols. We hear that in the Ten Commandments. He is the only God. He will not share his glory with your addictive God. He will not share glory with your ancestral gods. He will not share his glory with anyone except he wants you 100%. You'll need to step away from those things that you put in God's place. Your desires can be your God. Your possessions can be your God. Your time can be your God. Your image can be your God. Alcohol can be your God. Pornography can be your God because you worship it. What do you mean you worship it? Well, you just spend time and spend money on it. You look at where you spend time and spend money, and that's really the gods that you're serving. He will not share it with anyone else. I believe that when you're in a mess and you're sharing your life in this darkness, God loves you enough to expose it. He does. You might think, well, I'm getting away with this. Things are going well. He'll bring it forth, not to punish you, but he'll bring it forth so that you do not have to be tormented by the enemy any longer. He wants you free. So when you're free, you ask anybody who's come, and there's probably many in our congregation who have come from a place where they're not free, whether that's a country or a lifestyle. When you're free, there's just a different way of looking at life. See, the former things have taken place, and I declare new things. You are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Before they spring up into being, I announce them to you. It pleased the Lord for the sake of his righteousness. We jumped into verse 21 here. To make his law great and glorious. But this is a people plundered and looted. All of them trapped in pits or hidden away in prisons. They have become plunder with no one to rescue them. They have been made loot with no one to say, send them back. They're captives. But now, in verse 1 of chapter 43, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear. You got to put that in your heart. Do not fear. I've met people who knew Christ and could not leave their home because of this phobia about going out in the public, and so they could not leave their home. That's an imprisonment. There are people who will not speak out, would never say anything, There are people who can't do certain things because they have a phobia. A phobia is a fear. You can put whatever tag on the front of it, but take the phobias and become undone. And phobias will not run your life anymore. And you say, well, yeah, Pastor, but you have no understanding. Yes, I do. Because I've walked some people through to this freedom, and I've seen them become free. And this same particular woman would just kind of go out 10 steps into her yard. And then over a period of time, she became stronger and stronger and stronger. And then she would go for a drive. And now she can travel. It's not because of me. It's because she became undone in the presence of God. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. Didn't we sing that? Do not fear, because I have redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. Every Sunday night, we meet here and we put a couple of whiteboards up here and we put a whole bunch of names of children and siblings and people who we believe are in that tunnel that need to come out into the presence of God. Every one of those names, when I look at those names, I can't even pronounce some of those names. But they were given to that child. And God knew that before they were even born. He knows them and calls them by name. I've summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not oversweep you. You're not going to drown when he's there. You're not going to drown in your life when he's there. It won't overwhelm you to that point. And if you're feeling overwhelmed right now, you need to talk to him. And you maybe need to talk to somebody you trust. You don't need to talk to me, although I'm open, and both Elaine and I are open, and the pastoral staff here is open. But you need to talk to somebody, because as soon as you expose that, it breaks the power of the devil, and you are no longer blackmailed by him. He's a liar. And when you got it out in the open, hey, it's done. It's done. You're free. And he has no more power over you. You need to understand that. You need to walk in that freedom. And so the stuff that comes over you. Then he says a little bit more, because you need to understand this. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, just got fired right into that old fiery furnace. Killed the people throwing them in. They walked around and they're like, wow, this is the first time I've been warm for a long time. They didn't even smell like they're burnt. I'm a firefighter. I know. I come out of a fire that other people run away from. We go into, and when you're done, your gear smells like fire. You smell like fire. You smell like a smoked oyster. You're really proud of that. You kind of, you know, all of us getting it. Imagine get back in that fire truck, and that truck goes, whoo, open the windows. Because there's a bit of a smell there. He says, the flames will not set you ablaze. I have a picture. You know, I showed you some of my other pictures. I was going to bring another one in here. And I just do these. It's called Pour Art. And some of you are thinking, yeah, it really is. No, it's P-O-U-R. Okay, you pour paint on, and it's really scientific. You just pour the paint on, take a plastic spoon, and you mix it up a bit. And then you just move that painting around until everything kind of breaks and colors unite. And it's just really abstract. It's crazy. People don't like it, and I don't care. Because it's me. It's messy. And so I'm sitting there, and Elaine is the one who names all these pictures because they're crazy. The ones I had the other day were chaos and chaos undone. They're in my office. They're crazy looking pictures. I have one in our living room that's called Some Through the Fire. just all, it looks like a forest fire, and I'm looking at this, and I see just a little tiny, it's a frame about this big, I see this little tiny square where the paint had made actually the head and the shoulders of someone heading through the fire. It's an amazing, it's like the window into the furnace where they were thrown in to be burned up. Some through the fire, some through the flame. You're going to make it. Hear me? You're going to make it. You're going to make it. And you're not going to smell burnt. You're not going to be overwhelmed with the water. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You know what that word is? Deliverer. That's what Savior is. My deliverer. Salvation. In faithfulness, he'll bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establish justice on the earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. Islands are interesting because that's kind of like what we are, is we're all individuals. Islands have water all around them. Well, you need to put your hope in him. And when you put your hope in him, now you become an archipelago, not just one island out there by yourself. So here's another tunnel picture. And it's kind of a little bit more than last week's. Last week you just saw somebody down at the end of the tunnel, but you couldn't see what was in the tunnel. And this is maybe not the best, but you can see the debris and the garbage and sludge in there. That will emit a horrible smell. It's not even safe to go into a place and breathe there because you haven't got enough oxygen and you'll be in a confined space and you probably die. I had friends of mine who were on the ambulance crew that died going into a confined space. Somebody's at the end of that. So I'm going to tell you a story as we wrap this up. Talked to you about Jesse last week. So I get a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning. And Jesse's wife says, can you come down? Or actually, maybe it was Jesse said, if you're any kind of a pastor, you'll come down. What do you do with that? First of all, you think, yeah, I'll take you on. Then you're also thinking, this is going to be really bad, because anybody says that, they've already got something. They've got an agenda. So I go down there. Jesse is just demonic. He's just, you could smell it. You can smell demons. They smell like that. They smell like filth. So I go down there, and 3 o'clock in the morning is an interesting time. If you do any study on battles, they attack at 3 o'clock in the morning because people are not alert. People are not up. People are not sharp in their senses. So 3 o'clock in the morning. I go down there. Talking with this demon, talking with Jesse's wife was there, talking with this demon, and I maybe shared this in another sermon, but his head now literally became the head of a pig. It became a boar's head. His nose came out and his ears went down like this, and he was already really ugly. He was bald and he had tattoos all over his head. And I was sitting there going, holy. Now, I'm not super spiritual Jim. My flesh was saying, time to go. Run, fool. Save yourself. and then it just turned back. And I said to his wife, I said, did that really happen? And she said, yep. Because she'd seen it quite often. It was not a common thing, but it wasn't so scary for her. And I said to this demon, I talked to this demon. And there was a butcher knife on the table, a big bread knife like this. Now, it probably wasn't that big, but when I was scared, I make things bigger. It was big enough to do me serious harm. And he's a big guy. He's probably 6'4". He had big hands. And he took that butcher knife and he put it right to my throat. Now, it wasn't bad enough for the pig. Now I got this to my neck. And I have my hands on his wrist. And it would look like, it looked like a Mickey Mouse watch on the hand of a wrestler. Like I thought, there's no way I can pull these hands off. And I got this knife to my throat. He'd already put a 38 to my head, and I got away with that one. A 38 pistol to your head. And so I'm holding these hands, and I said to the demon, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to drop that knife. And in my like I'm talking to myself at the same time, saying, if he doesn't, I'm going home. Not to see Elaine. I'm going home. And the guys on the ambulance are going to come and pick me up, and it's not going to be a pretty sight. It's going to be messy. You know how messy this is? And so he's got this, and I'm watching the knife. Let me tell you, I'm watching the knife for the demon to let go and Jesus to win. That's the whole where I want to be at 3:05 in the morning. And it was like this. And the knife dropped, and he sat down, and he said, you win. And I went, I could breathe without any leaks. No, nobody, he didn't touch my throat. So then I'm there talking with him. We cast some more demons out of him. Now it's about 5 in the morning now. The sun's coming up. I need to take our daughter, Leslie, to Vancouver from where we were living in the Kootenays to go on a missions trip. So at 5:30 in the morning, I said, look, I got to go because I got to take her to the plane. And he had calmed down. Like he had, you could see the light in the tunnel. He was still partway in the tunnel. He'd come out that much. We cleaned up some of the debris. And then he said to me, you want to talk about messy grace? He said to me, can I pray for your safety? Okay. So where's your theology there? Those same big hands that had a knife that were going to cut my throat, he wants to hold my hands and pray for my, and he loved me. Can you imagine? So I didn't close my eyes. I didn't close my eyes when we prayed. Matter of fact, I don't think I could close them for 3 days after. And he did. He took my hands and he said, Lord, can you imagine this? A guy that just manifested demons, a guy that was just about to kill me. He took my hands and he says, Lord, I pray for Jim and Elaine and Leslie and Dan as they travel down to Vancouver. They'd keep them safe there on the way back. And so I prayed for him and his wife and I left. Got in the car and we drove, like I was up all night and we drove down to Vancouver. Got Leslie there on time. On the way back, right at Abbotsford, we had a Chrysler K car. The K stands for curse or cash, either one, because it was the most horrible. It was a demon car. If there can be a demon car, that was the baby. And so we're booting down the road, coming on the freeway, and we probably had a rate to the floor, and it was doing about maybe 55 miles an hour. And I saw this truck in front of me, like a big Dodge Dually pickup with this 30-foot enclosed trailer in it, and the trailer was dog-tracking back and forth and two lanes of my road, and I just thought, you know what, this is not good. This guy's, it's going to be an accident. And so I pulled in front of him. I just, like that old K car, it was just doing everything it could. I got by him, and then there was two trucks came by me, and then no more cars. And I looked in the mirror, and I saw this pickup truck go right up and over the median. I saw it break off from the trailer, and the trailer flip on its side, and the trailer coming down at an angle, just like a snowplow right behind my car. And it was coming faster than my car. And I'm going as fast as I can go in the little K car, and this thing is kind of like this. And finally, it just slows down because of the friction. And I stop, and I pull around it, and I go back because I'm a paramedic, and these guys are down over in the median now. Their hood's up, their doors are open, and I go and check them, and one guy's, he's got his kneecap all busted up, and another guy's face is kind of mashed into the steering wheel, but they're okay. So then I, you know, the ambulance comes right away because it's close to Abbotsford, and they check these guys out. And then I went up to where my car was parked in front of this thing, and the trailer had a double A fueler car in it. Now, if you don't know what that is, that's an alcohol racer, like the rails. And it had barrels of AB fuel in it, or alcohol fuel in it. And this thing was coming straight down behind us, sliding. Thankfully, it was made of aluminum, so it didn't cause any sparks. And when I heard that there was a AA fueler in there and that it was so close to my family and we could have been blown to pieces, you know what the Lord said to me? Jesse prayed for you. Talk about messy grace. I wish that was the end for Jesse of all the trouble he had. But he was so full of the garbage and debris in his tunnel that he kept going back and coming seven times worse and coming back. And for years, we dealt with this. But he progressed in the Lord. I tell you all of that because there were some real messy times. Real messy times. You'll find yourself in messy times if you'll let God guide you and direct you. And maybe you're in that messy time now. Maybe you have that stuff all over your boots. Maybe you're there at the back of the tunnel and you've seen all this debris. And you know what? I don't know what's in that debris. Maybe it's sewer. Maybe it's horrible. Maybe there's things in there that you don't even want to discuss. I'll tell you something. Jesus knows all of them. When Elaine and I counsel, we talk about little rooms that we put in. So you have a footprint of a house. And so on the outside, you look at the basement when you go downstairs, and it's a big open family room. But really, if you took the square footage, you'll find that there's a space behind that beautiful brick wall where the fireplace is that has a whole bunch of storage rooms that nobody knows about. And those rooms are all dark. And sometimes there's two rooms, sometimes there's 20, sometimes there's 50 rooms in there that you have never gone into since you were a kid, that you have never gone into because you're fearful of what's in there. And what the Holy Spirit wants to do with you is he wants to open up that wall, walk into that room, shine a light on there, and whatever's rotting on the floor, he wants to clean that up in your life. And then when he leaves that room, he leaves the light on. And then when you're ready, he'll take you to the next room, and the next room, and the next room. And pretty soon you'll have a whole bank of rooms that were dark and filthy and vile, now totally inhabited by the light. Walk in messy grace. Isaiah 42 says this, I, the Lord, have called you to righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Randy and the team, if you'd come. You know, it's Isaiah 42 that we read this. Isaiah 61, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord God, or the Isaiah says this, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you because he's come to set the captives free, to bring a proclamation of good news, to bind up the brokenhearted. This is what it's all about. He reiterates this over and over and over again because Jesus came for today. Here we are today in October, and 18th of October in 2015. God had this plan for you to be here this morning so that you can walk out of here full and whole.